and begin to see a different world.
A new poll out says Americans are a little sour on the economy. Gee, you think? Milk, it does a body good, or does it? The EPA says radiation, small traces of it, has been found in a milk supply in the United States. Wow, what a way to usher in this show. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know how we roll here. We zig and zag kind of all over the place. The great thing about this show is it's water cooler buzz at its best. Why should you care about milk? Well, of course. How many of you drink milk? Why should you care about radiation? That answer is obvious. And why should you care about alternatives when it comes to energy? That answer is probably obvious, too. Look at oil and the prices when you pull up to put petrol in your car. Are you feeling the pain? Is it stinging yet at this point? Over $4. I told the story, but a couple of weeks ago when I was in California, yeah, you're paying four and change. You have premium? It could be $4.50 in some cases. $4.50. And I know there are people listening to America Tonight, like my pal Jack down under in Australia. We have a lot of people in Australia listening, in China and some other places in the UK, who giggle at $4 a gallon. But hey, this is the USA. We don't want to pay what you're paying to fill up. We don't want to pay $6 and $7. No, thank you. So let's talk about alternative energy right from the get-go, and then I'm going to set up the rest of the menu for you. Energy was on the president's mind, and that was part of the deal in speaking about energy and alternatives and where we're headed. And you know what the big three are. Nuclear energy, what happens with that? Sometimes wind is brought up. That's not realistic, however. Not affordable in some cases and won't work in other cases. Futuristically, yeah, perhaps. Can't completely do away with oil. After all, we don't all have electric cars at this point. Am I right? Or maybe somebody out there does have an electric car. So the president talked about energy. It was high on the menu earlier in the day inside the Beltway. Take a listen.
Recent innovations have given us the opportunity to tap large reserves, perhaps a century's worth of reserves, 100 years worth of reserves, in the shale under our feet. And we're going to incorporate those conclusions and lessons from Japan in design and the building of the next generation of plants. But we can't simply take it off the table. Any claim that my administration is responsible for gas prices because we've quote-unquote, shut down oil production, any claim like that is simply untrue.
All right, Obama says, don't blame me for the gas prices. And when you look at what's happening in Libya, when you look at what's happening in the Middle East, we know where a lot of the pain is coming from. Of course, Libya supplying Europe and really Asia, but the rest of the Middle East would be catastrophic for the United States. It's really Saudi Arabia. If that domino fell, that would be it. Hopefully you've got some reserves somewhere. So the president was in Georgetown when he actually started to talk about energy. That was the name of the game. And he was talking about the energy secretary as well. He's got a Nobel Prize in physics, so he applauded him. But went on to talk about, and you heard pretty much the nuggets that came out of that, where we're headed. And notice he did not back away from, in any way, did not back away from nuclear energy, which is a good thing. And certainly there is something to be learned from Japan. Like, hello, Dumbos, don't build a nuclear plant where there's seismic activity or a very real possibility of it. Who didn't know when they looked at that plant in Japan that there was the potential for disaster there, the location itself, and earthquakes in the past that had hit that area. Fukushima, of course, was just waiting for this to happen, to be ripped open. And the sad part is, as you know, and we've talked about a lot here on ATM, the people were not informed realistically right from the very beginning as to what was happening at that nuclear plant once it started to leak. Now you got the problem with seafood. Think of the Japanese, think of the people and how much seafood they eat. They have high radiation that's been detected in the Japan Sea. It's not shocking to me. It seemed inevitable when we started to hear bits and pieces about the food supply, right? So now there's massive fear over seafood. And forget about exporting seafood. But, of course, in many of the areas that we're talking about, they're so far from getting back on their feet anyway. But it's the people in and around the plant that you really feel for. Because, boy, were they lied to. And why were they lied to? Because it was better to keep them in the dark than to let them know what was really going on. So that was flat out wrong, flat out BS. And you can bet that's something we don't want to have happen here in the United States. So if the president says, listen, we're going to review where the plants are, of course you're going to review where the plants are. It's something that's always been done, but it should be done again. That's why there was a moratorium on nuclear energy in California. Think of seismic activity. How often when you go to the Gold Coast do you hear people talking about the big one and when it could hit Californians in the north and the south? They realize that that's always a possibility, and they know where the major fault lines are. That's why nuclear energy, new plants, new sources were frozen over in those areas of California, which made sense. But certainly, there are other places where plants can be built, and you cannot completely do away with the idea of nuclear energy. Look to the French and what they've been able to do so well when it comes to using a nuclear source, what they've been able to do in that country, and you have to have a bunch of alternatives. That was the problem in the first place. You might disagree, so remember, keep this number handy and feel free to tell me what you think we should rely on. What do you think the future sources of energy should be, or what they will be 20 years from now? You know when you go in a job interview and somebody says to you, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? Which I think is such a bogus question. But I'll ask it a different way. 10 years from now, what kind of an envelope do you think we're going to be getting in the mail? What are you going to be getting billed for? Is it going to just be electricity? Will it be electricity? Will it be something else? Who knows? Certainly there are sources that can be developed. Under this administration, and the reason the principal president is so sensitive to gasoline is because the numbers don't lie as far as where they've gone, and it's up, up, up. If you look at Gas Buddy, for example, a great source to go to, gasoline has been up 100% under our current president. If you track a price of a gallon of regular gas, do you know that it was around $1.79 when Obama took office? The national average is at least $3.60. So you tell me where we're headed. If you're lucky and you're living in Oklahoma, maybe you're paying somewhere in the neighborhood. Let's say you're in Tulsa, $3.30. But the rest of us, we're taking it in the shorts, if you know what I mean. We're going to talk a little hoop next with the Buddha man, Steve Budin. Love to pick his brain. And then there were four. We're going to talk about it. Hang with us.
Daddy, I'm hungry.
That little girl will get fed, for now. But what if people like Glenn Beck are right about the threats we face? If the U.S. dollar loses its status as the global reserve currency, prices on the things you need most will skyrocket. Food may be unaffordable, or worse, unavailable. Earthquakes, economic turmoil, continuing unemployment, rampant inflation, and even threats of terrorism are all reasons to let the experts at Ready Reserve Foods help you with a long-term food storage plan. Ready Reserve Foods has been a premier supplier of long-term storage foods for 37 years. Their unique process assures the highest quality long-term food storage available worldwide. Their products have a shelf life of 25 years, and a year's supply of quality food for two people only takes up about as much space as a refrigerator for a fraction of what you now pay at the grocery store. You owe it to your family to find out more from Ready Reserve Foods. Call today for their free full-color catalog at 1-800-453-2202. That's 1-800-453-2202.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Most of us eat a blend of processed, man-made, and all-natural food. But the food you eat may not provide all the nutrition your body needs. We now know that liquid vitamin supplements are absorbed faster than pills. That's why you need C-Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Sea vegetation is known to be the richest source of organic minerals, and that's what you'll find in all-natural, great-tasting Sea Energy. Sea Energy contains aloe vera, black cherry, cranberry, and pomegranate juices, plus ginseng, cat's claw, ginger, ginkgo biloba, and over 50 trace minerals needed for healthy metabolism, all from natural organic sea plant sources. Get a 10% discount by using promo code GCN at checkout when you order Sea Energy from AffinityCEnergy.com. Call 855-732-3637. That's 855-732-3637. Or go to AffinitySeaEnergy.com today.
So we're turning the page on yet another sport because college hoop, you've been following it. Now we're down to the Final Four. This is an exciting time, though. I love the buzz in the air. I'm wondering how many people are still alive in their brackets. I'm thinking a lot of you are down for the count. I have to say I had Duke winning the whole thing, so I am down for the count. You might find yourself in the same position I'm in. We know the four teams that are left, Kentucky and Connecticut, and I love this, Butler and VCU. You got to love all the stories that are coming out about this VCU coach. There's so many, and it's exciting, I think, for both of those teams. Who will they meet? In the green room, we're going to usher him in just a second. I think he's having a conversation with that nutty Joy Behar, somebody told me. But anyway, he's back in the green room, Steve Budin, Da Buddha. We're going to usher him out in just one quick second. But first, here's what Jim Calhoun, the coach of UConn, had to say about his team now in the trenches, getting ready to try to vie for the national championship game for a right to be there as they face Kentucky. Take a listen.
They do play good defense. They do play hard. They have great talent. I mean, really great talent. And, you know, they have three or four pros on that team. And John does a great job of understanding that. And so when they took the dribble drive away, their penetration has killed everybody most of the year. But their now ability to make threes makes them lethal.
Yeah, it makes him lethal. Jim Calhoun versus John Calipari. Ooh, interesting stuff. Buddha Man, thanks so much, as always, for jumping on ATN.
Yeah, well, anybody who's still alive with their brackets ought to be drug tested anyway. I think the whole country's out, which only means one thing, and that is more betting, and that's good for me.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, so this is cool because you have these two very known quantities and then two that are not so known. Let's talk about the known quantities. Kentucky and UConn. Wow, what do you see going down on this game?
Well, let's face it, Calipari and Calhoun, not a lot of love lost there. They like each other about as much as Aniston and Jolie. To me, look, I like Kentucky. There's a little X factor there with Harrelson. A couple of weeks ago, he was nothing. Now, all of a sudden, 61% from the floor. Coach gave him a pep talk. You know, great backstory. He's filled that hole. Not to mention, he brings this, like, I don't know, this, like, tough guy enforcer role, which I really, really like. Nine and a half rebounds a game. Connecticut, everybody thinks too many games in a row, too many wins. Obviously, that whole theory went out the window. They just keep winning and keep winning and keep winning. But at the end of the day, the offense flows through one guy and one guy only on UConn, and that's Walker. And, you know, I think Kentucky, what they're going to do is they're going to let Walker get his, and they're going to shut down everybody else. Kentucky's balanced. I think you heard the coach talk about it. Now they can shoot the three. Now they're great from the foul line. Now when they come out and get you at the three, they can dump it into their big man. There's so many things that they can do now that they just couldn't do last year. I think minus 2.5 is the way to go here with Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Kentucky, a lot of the Kentucky listeners in Lexington especially, they're going to love you, Buddha Man, for saying that.
Okay, well, let's win it. I mean, I just want to win and they'll love me.
Yeah, there you go. And then we look at the other side, VCU and Butler. I got to tell you, I only know a little bit about these teams from everything I've been reading, but other than that, I really would have known much.
Oh, my God. The VCU Butler. I mean, this is like Biggie Tupac. How do you choose two sides in this one? It's Butler 7-0, Tourney Dog the last two seasons. VCU already 5-0 as a Tourney Dog this season. Can you see any of these teams blowing the other one out?
No.
I don't think so either. I mean, Butler has some advantages on paper. They have a little experience. You know, they were there last year, got the dagger in the heart from Duke, so they know what it's like to get past this game. And they got Shelvin Mack. He's like the Mack attack, unbelievable. But with VCU, like you said in the news, it all starts at the top. You know, Shaka Smart, you know, so impressive as a coach, unbelievable, makes all the right moves, all the right decision, pushes all the right buttons. The guy's like a sixth man on the court. And you say to yourself after a while, you know, it's not coincidence. It's not luck. You got to give the guy his due. I mean, it was his defensive scheme that completely manhandled Kansas. You know, this is one, you know, a team that has the top field goal percentage in the country. They look disoriented, discombobulated. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They shot like 35% from the field. This is the guy, you know, that you want. You know, players play for him. They go that extra mile for him. These are two teams that, you know, they're both going to bring it. They're both going to bring their A game. They're both going to play hard. They're both going to play like they want it. So it's not about who's going to show up. They're both going to show up. I think the advantage goes to the coach with VCU and the fact that, say what you want about Butler, and I hate betting against Butler. I would never bet against Butler, but they always keep it close. They always keep the game close. 1-2 points, that's Butler style. You know, last shot of the game, make it or miss it, that's Butler style. Got to take the 2.5 points here with VCU.
Yeah, were you surprised that Butler in that game with Florida, wow, that was crazy. Wasn't it the end there? Like you say, a handful of points?
I don't think anything can surprise you with Butler anymore. I mean, I think they've earned the right of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah, no kidding. Has a lot of money been wagered this time around on college hoops? I think there always is, but you know better than me.
So yeah, this is the most voluminous betting we've seen on a Final Four. I mean, on a tournament in the last 10 years. And the reason isn't because of the star players. There really aren't any compared to years past. The reason is simply because they staggered the starts of the games in the first three rounds. So instead of having games all starting when you had to bet them all in the beginning of the day, all of a sudden you had waves of games like an NFL Sunday and packs of games with plenty of time in between, you know, for bettors to get to the window. And because of that, you had so much more gambling, so much more viewership. I think the NCAA made the right decision to coincidentally err on the side of the gamblers and create that whole system of staggered starts. It was
wonderful. There you go. Does it show, is there a disparity in college hoops? Does it show parity in college hoops by what we've seen here now at the finish? What do you think?
I think we're seeing a depleted college hoops because so many more players are able to go right from high school to the NBA. So many more players are able to play 1 year of college and go right to the NBA. And look, I don't blame them. If I, you know, why take the chance that you break a sprain an ankle or have some type of injury that could cost you your money? I mean, these kids, if they have a chance to sign that, you know, to sign that check, they gotta go and do it. They can't risk, you know, an extra year, an extra 3 years in college where anything could happen. I don't blame them, but I think we're seeing a depleted league. We're seeing a diluted NBA because of overexpansion, and we're seeing a depleted college game as well.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, one last one, Buddha Man, since
but if you
and
got
I
enough
talk...
money on it, it doesn't matter. I can tell you it could be the Harlem Globetrotters. You're still happy.
There you go. Exactly. Exactly. Hey, one last one for you, because we talk so much during football season. What do you think is going to happen here? Boy, this is dragging on, this lockout.
You know, it's going to drag on, but remember, we saw some breaks in the players. I mean, I hate to say it. It's ugly what I'm about to say. I mean, maybe, you know, you want to put your hands over your children's ears. But listen, you know, you do not play poker with the owners. You can't. You don't have the bankroll. It's common gambling mathematics. You know, these owners, if they weren't the owners of the teams, okay, they would be owners of other big conglomerates and successful businesses. These players, if they weren't players, they would be gym coaches, most of the players. So please, please, guys, they're going to smarten up at some point. They're going to realize that the only ones making money are the guys in the union because they pay themselves a salary during this time. They ask the players not to accept any money, but they themselves don't abide by that. They continue to get paid. Players are going to break at some point. They don't want scabs out there. This will resolve. I don't know if we'll get all of our preseason games in, but we'll certainly get our season in.
Yeah, I agree. Buddha Man, thanks. We'll talk to you again. This is great stuff. We appreciate it.
Anytime.
Take care, man.
You got it, Kate.
All right. Steve Buden, by the way, has a great book that if you haven't read, you got to check this out. Go to the library even and get it if you want to. But it's called Bets, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, and it is hilarious. Or you can check them out at picknation.com. But the book is... Oh, it's fabulous. It's like one of those reads where you sit down on the deck somewhere, you know, you're outside, you're on the beach, and you just cannot stop reading it. All right, coming up on America Tonight, did you know there's no Women's History Museum in the United States? There is not a history museum for women. There's all kinds of museums for all kinds of things, and I mean, almost any major metropolitan area, or even small areas, too, but let's say in our nation's capital. But there is a bill to make that become a reality. This was the month of the woman. So we're going to chat about that coming up on the flip side here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Never buy home canning jar lids again. No kidding. When you buy Tadler reusable canning lids once, you'll never buy canning lids ever again. Safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways containing BPA. But Tadler reusable canning lids are guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning. Tadler lids are made with a USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, safe for direct food contact, and contain no BPA. Tadler lids are dishwasher-safe, usable with standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, are indefinitely reusable, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders at reusablecanninglids.com or call 1-877-747-2793. 877-747-2793. Call 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com for Tadler reusable canning lids, the original since 1976.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate the Lady, coast to coast, all those nooks and crannies in between. Well, as many of you know, and we've talked about it all throughout March, this is the month of the woman, if you will. And a lot of you men out there have really done your part, called in and talked about some heroic women, you know, and talked about your mothers and your wives, and all kinds of interesting stories have emerged throughout the month, weaved in with all the political talk and everything else that we've been jawing about here on the show. So check this out. Today is my birthday. Today was a big day. I wish I was there, but there was a rally at the Capitol. Among the people who were there, Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, and Congresswoman Carolyn Maloney from New York, Democrats, I see, you know, bipartisan. And they were both on hand to talk about some new legislation to try to get a permanent site for a site for a permanent home for the National Women's History Museum. And I'm very familiar with D.C. You know, we did a show from there. So we would be looking at 12th and Independence Avenue, maybe, in D.C. And I'm wondering, why hasn't there ever been a museum for women before? You know, I'm from Philadelphia, and I'm thinking, Betsy Ross and all the things that have happened there and things that have been recognized, but no National Women's History Museum. Joan Wages is the president of the National Women's History Museum. Our luck that we have her on this show. Joan, a very big day in D.C. Tell us what that rally was like.
It was very exciting. We had a lot of people show up to express their support for the museum, and the legislation was reintroduced today in the House and in the Senate. And we had a number of members of Congress who showed up to speak and lend their support, and very bipartisan. We had Judy Biggert and along with Carolyn Maloney, and Marcy Kaptur, Jan Schakowsky. So we had a good turnout and a lot of enthusiasm.
I'm just curious why this has never happened before, because, like I said, the men in this audience are so gracious. They talk about how powerful and wonderful women have been in their own personal lives, but just in history. So why have we not had one?
Well, you know, it's been explained to me that one of the most difficult things to realize is that which you can't see. And many times when I've told people what I do and what I'm working on, they look at me with this puzzle look and they go, "We don't already have one?" And I go, "No." So it's just that it's so obvious that we thought we should have had one that we just haven't.
Yeah, but now it's looking good. I mean, now there's this, you know, like you said, new legislation, so it's looking that this may really happen.
Yes. We were very, very close to getting the legislation passed in the last session of Congress, and so this time we're starting out with great momentum, and we feel very positive about it moving forward.
All right, so tell us about some of the women we would find in this museum. I mean, you could probably go way back in history, and I'm assuming maybe you do that. Well, who will we find in the museum?
Well, we will, of course, look at the whole campaign for the women to get the vote. So you're talking about Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony and some of those names that most people would know. But then to look at women like Grace Hopper, who was the first woman to graduate from Yale with a Ph.D. in mathematics, and she went on to invent the first computer compiler that is a precursor to our current day computers.
Wow.
And then someone like Hedy Lamarr, who all of us, or some of us who are older, recognize the name as being this beautiful actress in the 30s and 40s, but she also had brains. She co-invented this frequency hopping device that was used on torpedoes during World War II so that they would elude detection. But that same technology is used in space satellites, in our defense satellites, and it's what makes your cell phone work.
Oh, you're kidding. I had no idea about that. Yeah, Hedy Lamarr, huh?
Hedy Lamarr. She was
Who
quite
knew?
A beauty. And then one of the ones I love is, who were you taught created the cotton gin when you were in school?
Oh, well, certainly not a woman.
Well, that's right. It was Eli Whitney.
Yes, exactly.
All the textbooks say Eli Whitney created the cotton gin. Well, the fact is Eli Whitney went to visit a woman named Catherine Littlefield Green. She and her husband lived on a cotton plantation. She had a working prototype already. Eli Whitney probably made some adjustments, and then he went to apply for the patent because women did not apply for patents in those days, and Catherine Littlefield Green actually paid for it.
Wow, that's crazy, because in any history book, like you said, certainly Whitney is the pioneer, the mechanical engineer,
right.
the guy who is remembered, like you said, as the inventor of the cotton gin. In fact, my husband just went by, and he's from the South, and he's like, "What?" His ears perked up. He could hear you say that. So you're starting a revolution even in this household by saying that.
No offense meant, but you know, it's the perfect example of that women have partnered in many projects and have not been given the credit. So,
yeah, no kidding.
Yes, and so, you know, it's the kind of thing like, well, we always suspected, but, you know, this museum will have examples of that so that there will be a renewed respect for women's contributions to the building of this nation.
Yeah, and you're talking about, it sounds like, a lot of different kinds of women, different fields. So would you find like a Florence Nightingale? Would you find some of the astronauts perhaps in the museum?
Well, of course. I mean, it'll be every aspect of our society because women have made contributions in every aspect. But certainly the Sally Ride and, you know, the first woman in space and in literature, in the arts, in science, in medicine, in education. I mean, everyone, and in the home. You know, motherhood is quite central to women's roles. And so all of these things will be addressed in the museum.
So when you do this, when you go to put together a museum, it has to be tough, though, because there's only so much space. There's so much square footage you have. So do you have a board of people you go to and say, okay, here's all the things we're thinking of doing. Here's the exhibits. What do you think? Do you hash it out that way? How do you decide what – because that's, I think, the exciting part. What makes it in and what just doesn't make it in?
Right. Well, we will have a certain amount of square footage that will go to permanent exhibits, and I'm quite sure that one of those will be about the women's campaign to get the vote. So, you know, that was a 72-year campaign. But what we are just starting to do is to bring together the scholars, the best-known scholars in this country on women's history. And these are women who have been studying this field, and so they will be the ones who will guide us because they're the experts. And so there will be some permanent exhibits, but we will have space for temporary exhibits so that we can address many more issues that we all find interesting.
Yeah, no kidding. And Joan, when does, you know, of course, with the legislation and everything, you know, who knows as how things turn. One of the frustrations, of course, all of us dealing with politics. But if you had your wish, when would you hope that this could open up?
Well, we think it's going to take 5 to 7 years from the time the legislation is signed into law. So assuming or hoping that it passes this year, then we are looking at, 5 years is 2016?
Yeah, 2016. Yeah. How about that? That'll be something. Make sure you invite me to that opening.
Absolutely.
I got to ask you this question. Here's a good question for you, because I think this is tough to answer. It's almost like when somebody asked me the question of, who's your mentor? Or who of all the things that you've done and all that kind of stuff. So if you had to boil it down to your favorite woman in history, who would it be?
There's one story that's very close to my heart, which is the story of Elizabeth Blackwell, who became the first woman to graduate from medical school in this country. But the story of she was admitted into medical school as a joke. And so she showed up and they said, we were just joking. And she says, but, you know, you've admitted me. So she held her ground. She demanded to attend classes. They wouldn't let her attend many of the laboratory classes. So they kind of, you know, made her go through the classes with one hand tied behind her back, essentially. And after 4 years of this, she so earned their respect that she graduated number one in her class.
I think that's the perfect woman to pick out. You told me a story I didn't know. That was great. It's tough. I'm so sure everybody listening, you have your own thoughts on who that would be, and we'll talk about that a little bit here on America Tonight. Joan Wages, thanks so much for joining us, president of the National Women's History Museum. We can't wait till the doors fling open, and we appreciate, again, your time on America Tonight.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $220. And the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com. Today.
Your natural organic herbal formula for heart health is Heart and Body Extract.
My name is Van, and I'm 68 years old, and I live in Vermont. In the spring of 2003, I started to have problems with my heart. It felt like my heart was pounding, made me feel breathless. I tried many, many different things to try to get some help for myself. Nothing did anything.
Heart and Body Extract is very powerful, very effective, and works quickly.
I saw one of Sharon's ads and ordered Heart and Body Extract. I noticed a difference quickly, within days. The episodes became less frequent, and by a month it completely vanished.
Usually you find a 30-day or 60-day guarantee. Heart and Body Extract comes with a lifetime 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. Call 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized the Renaissance Charge Conference Workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
I like to see you.
So we're kicking the can down the road here on ATN with me, Kate Delaney. Coming up, I'm going to check your emails, as I mentioned. But before we get to that, a couple of very quick things. One, we've been talking about the budget in D.C. a lot. Why do you care in your own backyard, living in Florida, along the lovely Space Coast, getting ready for another launch, the Endeavor. Of course, Mark Kelly is going to be the commander of that one, and will Congresswoman Giffords be there or not for that launch? The thought is that she probably will be there. A lot of exciting things happening there. A lot of exciting things happening in other parts of the country, too. With better weather comes the blooming of flowers. You can forget about the snow, although I say that. And would you believe that opening day in New York, you just might have snow on the ground, the same thing in Philadelphia? By the way, in Texas, for the Texas Rangers, for example, they're talking about 85 degrees. In Florida, for the Marlins, they're talking about 85 degrees. You never know with Mother Nature, though. You never, never know. But you have to care about the budget because it does affect you. We're a taxpayer. It's your money. People look at the government, I think, and forget sometimes. Remember the words, we the people. The people in Washington represent you and me. We are the government. So this is our tax dollars, or lack of tax dollars. But it looks like there might be a tentative deal, might be, because I'm hearing that that's not necessarily true, that that was just bait that was thrown out there, but maybe. So if it's true, it means that the people negotiating the budget, the main players, might have a deal that would involve about $33 billion in spending cuts from this year's budget So that's actually, you know, $22, $23 billion more than the Democrats had originally agreed to in those short-term resolutions where they kept punting it, you know, forward. And it's also $28 billion less than the Republicans passed previously in the House, if you remember. I'll tell you what, you got to be good at math these days. There is no such thing as fuzzy math anymore when it comes to anything that we're talking about. So the scoop is, I've heard two things from two very good sources. One, yeah, because now of all the heavy rhetoric and the grandstanding, can we really afford to come up with a Band-Aid and say we're going to solve the budget, we're going to have it, we're going to settle on it? No. And so many Republicans and even Democrats saying, we're not doing this anymore. This is insane. We've got to pass this thing. It's like John Boehner, the Speaker of the House, was so frustrated the other day. What did he say? Here's a quote, pass the damn thing. And he's sick of it. Everybody's sick of it and frustrated. So maybe there's enough pressure that they're going to have to decide to compromise. Probably going to have to do that. All right. Also, I mentioned the deal about milk and low levels of radiation. Now, this is something we've been talking about. I said this at the top. Japan, with their food, makes up less than, I'll give you the number this time, though, 4% of all U.S. imports. So if you follow the bouncing ball, the FDA is saying that they don't expect any risk to the U.S. food supply from radiation. But they stopped the imports of dairy products and produce from the affected areas in Japan. And seafood naturally is high on the list. And seafood in some areas is still being sold to the public, but it's screened first for radiation. You think of especially the West Coast, where you'll get a lot of the seafood from Japan. You go to those areas in Seattle. If you've ever been down to Seattle, and you know it's as fresh can be, and some of it does come in from Japan. The Fukushima nuclear power complex started leaking radiation after the earthquake and the tsunami. So now we're talking about a couple of weeks. They did a sample. They took a milk sample from Spokane, Washington, and it showed some low levels of radioactive iodine that were there, but were still 5,000 times below the levels of concern that have been set up by the FDA, including levels that they ultimately set for kids and for infants. I don't know. Minuscule amounts. If somebody tells me, if you have a child, you've got a brand new baby, it's just minuscule traces. I'm thinking to myself, alphabet soup, do I trust the Food and Drug Administration for all the things that have happened in the past? Yeah, there's some good people that work for them, but they're short on staff, very, very short on staff. That's the problems we've had with meat inspections and whatnot. And yes, we still have the world's safest food supply. But I'm thinking I might not be doing that milk thing with a little baby. I'd be concerned. Anytime you start to say radiation, it's low levels. Don't worry. The don't worry is the part that always concerns me. Don't worry. Be happy. It won't get you in the end. All right, without further ado, let's check the mailbag. Checking the mailbag.
The mail is here!
Oh, Homer. I knew he was there. In checking the mailbag, I said this already. A guy in New York asked, what's going on with the cobra? Has anyone seen the cobra that escaped? That crazy video, it's been all over YouTube. I don't know, a poisonous cobra gets loose. I'm not chasing after it. I'll watch the YouTube video, and I have seen it. My nephew showed it to me, but what's up with the cobra deal? Does anyone understand what the deal was on the cobra deal? I don't get it. I don't get the fascination with snakes. I guess that's the first place where I would probably, I wouldn't be as fascinated maybe as John, because I get the sense from his email, he says, hey, Kate, what's going on with the cobra thing, if you know what I mean? Everybody's talking about it. You say water cooler buzz. You can't get enough buzz over the cobra. What is up with that deal? Do you understand? Have you seen the video? And the answer is, I've seen the video. I don't understand the fascination with it. Somebody else could probably fill in the blanks for me a little bit more, because I don't get why it's so fascinating. It's scary that the cobra got out. And they caught the cobra. I heard they caught the cobra, so that's the good news. How does that happen? How does it happen? Tell me. That's what I want to know. Really, that's what I want to know. I was more interested if we're going to talk about mammals or animals or snakes or anything, about the whale. Remember the whale that killed the trainer at SeaWorld? That was terrible, that video that somebody shot. The whale is now back at SeaWorld. I mark time a lot of times in my life by what we're talking about here in America Tonight. And the whale, if you remember, drowned a female trainer at the SeaWorld in Orlando, and now has performed again for the first time since the trainer's death last year. It was a crazy thing that happened. Her ponytail, she was dragged around, remember, from poolside by her ponytail, if you saw any of that, and drowned during a performance back in February of last year. But, hey, the whale is back in the park. All right, here's another one that says, what happened about the grilling on the Hill? You know, the deal with Hillary Clinton and Robert Gates. That's a good question that's posed by Chris in Montana, because we were talking about that on one of our earlier shows here on America Tonight, saying that this was going to happen. Most of the questions that dominated this classified briefing, most of them were, a lot of them anyway, in the beginning, were about the Libyan rebels. And the questions that were raised, the cost of the mission, what's it going to cost in the end, and really Gates and Clinton, not surprisingly, said that no decision had been made on even arming the rebels. So you had Democrats and Republicans beating them up, you know, from both parties, saying that they thought it would be a bad idea to do that, saying that, like, Congressman Jeff Davis of Kentucky is a great example. He said, I oppose arming rebels because in that complex tribal patchwork that makes up the insurgency, it's very uncoordinated. And this is the problem. Also, you have Islamic radicals who are joining the Libyan forces. That's a problem. But as this leaves my lips, the CIA is absolutely talking about arming the rebels. So, the CIA operating inside Libya, arming the rebels? Well, then I would say we are arming the rebels, right? That's part of the government, right? That's certainly one of the departments. So if that's true, if they're consulting with the opposition, Gaddafi's opposition, and then they're digging up arms, well, then it's not true what they're saying on the Hill. Imagine that, a contradiction. Right now, we know for sure the NATO coalition is enforcing a no-fly zone, and they're trying to protect the people from the intense fighting. And they're not getting a lot of help from the weather, by the way, because the weather has been awful. The weather conditions with the winds, etc., it's been pretty tough on these airstrikes. Have any thoughts? Send them to me at americatonight.net.